All right, thank you very much. Take your Bibles and join me in turning to Luke chapter number 4 is where we're going to be this morning. Luke chapter number 4, and we'll spend the next few moments here before you head off to your next class, I think at the bottom of the hour. Luke chapter 4, and this morning in our time together, I want to talk to you about something that I have been bothered with all of my life. I want to talk to you about something that has hindered me. I want to talk to you about something that is seemingly always present in my life, and it really bothers me. You say, what is that? It's temptation. In Luke chapter 4, we find that Jesus gives us a great role model, if I can use that terminology. He gives us a great example to follow when it comes to temptation. Now, in preaching to you in the next few moments on this subject, in this setting, I realize that you're at home, and you say, well, Brother Beal, we experience temptation, whether it be in college or at home. You're right. You're exactly right. And this is really a subject that all of us need to be very much aware of, whether you're on campus or whether you're home. And understand this, that whether or not you yield to a temptation will steer the course of your life. At this point in your life, if you yield to a major temptation, the cost can be very great. Maybe not irrecoverable, but be so great that you'll be always haunted in your mind the rest of your life. And so I want to encourage you to take this idea of temptation very seriously. And in the next few moments, I want to impress upon you this thought. If the devil tempted Jesus, mark it down, he will tempt you. And so I want us to read the story, if we will, in Luke chapter 4 and verse number 1. Actually, we're going to just read it in segments and go as far as we can. Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it may be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Now, we read the story of this beginning temptation. The devil is tempting Jesus. And I want you to see several things about the story that will help us in understanding how we can have victory over temptation. Temptation will go with you to the grave. You will never be able to escape the temptations that are out there in large part. However, you can have victory over them, and that's what I want to talk about this morning. Now, the first thing I want you to see is I want you to see a relationship with the Father. The Bible tells us in verse 1 that Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost, that He had returned from Jordan. We know that Jesus is the Son of God. And we also know this, that the Bible tells us, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Now that's in a different sense, and what I mean is here Jesus is deity, the Son of God, but because of His sacrificial death and because of an empty tomb, you and I have the opportunity to be called the sons of God by placing our faith in Christ. And I believe it's a wonderful reminder to us that how could Jesus go through this temptation and emerge unscathed? Yes, He is the Son of God, and the Bible tells us He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because of that, I believe there was no way possible for Jesus to sin in Luke chapter 4. However, it sets a wonderful example for us. Listen, if we're going to overcome temptation, it's so important for us to have a relationship with the Father, not just in salvation, but it says Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost. You know, sometimes we use that terminology, full. You know, he is so full of himself, we might say. Somebody who's acting a certain way, or we say, boy, he's full of booze. Well, in the same way that we might say somebody's full of pride and somebody is full of alcohol, after all, the Bible does use this parallel, and be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And so you understand, hey, you say, I'm saved, preacher, I'm good. Listen, you're not good. You may be a child of God, but it's important for you to know what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God. And to be honest, in my Christian experience, the longer I live, the more I'm learning the importance of it. And so if you want to be a prime candidate to fail in temptation, leave college, hardly touch your Bible at all while you've been out away from school, and show up for a chapel service with maybe a warm blanket on your lap, but a cold heart. And if you do that, you're well on your way to failing gravely at the matter of temptation. And so I want you to see, if you're going to have victory over temptation, you better remember this. Jesus, being the Son of God, was full of the Holy Ghost. Be persuaded in your own heart that you're a child of God, and know that you are filled with the Spirit. It's of the greatest importance if we're going to have victory over temptation. So number one, you see a relationship with the Father. But secondly, I want you to see not only the relationship with the Father, but the reality of temptation. Temptation is a very real thing. A man who says he's not tempted is a dishonest man. Why? Because if the devil tempted Jesus, mark it down, he'll tempt you, he'll tempt me. And temptation is a real thing that Bible college students, that teachers, staff members, and college presidents experience. And it's something that we should treat with great sobriety. And here we find the devil tempts Jesus in three different ways. Verse 3, "And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it may be made bread." Verse 5, "And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time." Verse 9, "And he brought him to the pinnacle, and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence." So three times the devil tempts Jesus, and I want you to see the specifics of these three temptations. Now notice the first one. It's what I call the lust of the flesh. "If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it may be made bread." I believe there the devil illustrates to us the temptation of the lust of the flesh. This flesh has desires. And some of those desires are very inherently wicked. There are other desires that in and of themselves may be acceptable if not done to excess. For instance, when it comes to eating, my flesh has a desire to eat. But when I indulge in that desire and it becomes unhealthy, then that's a bad thing. Well, the desires of the flesh, your flesh has a desire for food. Your flesh has a desire for companionship. Your flesh has a desire for physical intimacy. And you have to gauge that, and you have to beware of the lust of the flesh. Now, Satan specifically says, "Take this stone and make it into bread." Now, you look at that and you say, well, you know, what's wrong with that? I mean, is it a sin to eat bread? No, it's not a sin to eat bread. But in this context, Jesus had prayed and fasted, now get this, for 40 days and 40 nights. You know, there may be some of you through this pandemic situation, you're scared that you can't get to the grocery store to fill your palate, especially some of you young men. You're like, I can't even imagine going an hour, 2 hours, or 3 hours without Cheez-Its. Why? Because you are a spoiled brat. But I will say this, when you've not eaten for 40 days or 40 nights, and the devil comes to you and says, make this stone into bread, I'm going to tell you something, from a physical standpoint, that has a strong pull, doesn't it? You better believe it. It's one thing to tempt somebody with food after they've eaten a big lunch in the cafeteria. It's another thing to tempt them at 10 o'clock at night when they've not eaten since breakfast. Do you understand the devil, if I could say it this way, tempted Jesus at what many of us would term was like the weakest physical moment. And there's a lesson for all of us to understand, and it's this. That many times the devil seeks to tempt us in our weakest physical moments with the hopes that we will throw our hands up and say, you know what, I just feel like I owe it to myself. And then we collapse into it and we're in his clutches. You know, I think perhaps one of the greatest temptations that young people experience today is when it comes to the idea of intimacy, when it comes to the idea of the physical fulfillment of the fleshly desires, that God is pleased when they're gratified through marriage. However, so many times we get ahead of ourselves, we get ahead of God, and these feelings are aroused within us. But listen to me, that's the lust of the flesh. You know, the devil sometimes may tempt the college freshman that feels like they have the world by the tail, and because they're in Bible college, they're perfect. But sometimes the devil tempts the college senior who looks around and says, man, I've been here for 4 years, and oh boy, you know what? There's just nobody in sight. I'm going to settle for the next person, the next thing. You see, the devil will attack us in our point of least physical resistance. Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and it wasn't God's timing for him to eat during this time, and yet the devil said, command that stone that it be made bread. Listen to me, in the days to come and for the rest of your life, we have to beware of the lust of the flesh. But then the second temptation, we find it in verse number 5, and the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Now the devil is tempting Jesus with the lust of the flesh. I believe the lust of the eyes. I believe that the lust of the eyes is simply this. The eyes of man are never full. They're never satisfied. Man sees things and he wants them. Maybe for some of you ladies right now, you're a little bit depressed because the department stores are closed. Husbands are rejoicing, but women are lamenting. But I will tell you this, I've learned, even in the Beale household, women know how to shop online. And sometimes that's more dangerous than Belk's or JCPenney's. Why? Because now instead of dealing with one department store, you're dealing with thousands. And all kinds of options are out there. And you know what, ladies? I'm sure you could look online. You'd say, boy, I'd like this and I'd like that. And guys are the same way. It's just over different things. You see, there's an inherent desire within each of us. We desire things. Materialism grabs us. And we begin to live for things rather than God. Why, Jesus, look, all of this can be yours. Now, yes, I know that Jesus is the Creator. He made it. But nonetheless, the prince of the power of the air says, Jesus, look across this world, the fame, the fortune, the possessions, they can all be yours if you'll just bow down and worship me. That's all you have to do, to have it all. But you know, sometimes for us, we human beings, we look and we see so much in front of us and say, boy, I could have that and I could have that. That sure would be nice. Maybe you'd say, well, boy, serving God, that's a vow of poverty, which, by the way, is not true. Some of you guys, you've been working 40 hours a week and you start accumulating a little money and all of a sudden it feels in such a way to you, you're like, well, maybe this thing of Bible college is expendable. Listen to me, if you're experiencing that in your soul, I'll tell you what it is. It's the lust of the eyes. I've watched people come through these doors wanting to be missionaries and they left higher paid factory workers never to do God's bidding. I've watched people come through these doors, and they've had a desire to serve the Lord, but because of the lust of the eyes and yielding to it, they would rather have the kingdoms of the world than the peace of God. Number one, Jesus is tempted by the lust of the flesh. Number two, the lust of the eyes. But here's the third reality of temptation, the pride of life. In verse number 9, he brought him, verse number 13, or 11 rather, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. What happens is the devil in verse 9 says, Jesus, get on this pinnacle of the temple and cast yourself down. Show off for all of us. And he even quotes the Bible and he said, he twists the scriptures rather. And he says, well, the angels will come and rescue you. They wouldn't let you dash your foot against a stone. And basically the devil in verses 9 through 12 was saying, Jesus, show off for us. I mean, the creator of the universe, he could have done anything. And yet Jesus refuses the temptation. Now, my time is past, but I'll tell you this, young person, you and I don't have the abilities and the powers that Jesus has, but I'll tell you, it amazes me that we have so much less and yet we still are proud people. Don't be consumed with the pride of life. Don't let the pride of life. You say, I'm good at playing the piano. I'm good at this. I'm good at that. Listen to me. The pride of life has ruined some of the most talented people I've ever seen come through this place. Some of the fellows that have the greatest oratory, some of the greatest musicians, now what are they doing? Nothing. Why? All because they yielded to the pride of life. Now I'm going to finish the message on Thursday, but just remember this. Remember that you have to have a relationship with the Father, and if you're going to have victory over temptation, you need to remember as well that you've got to see the reality of temptation. And at the conclusion now of this message, you know what I ask you to do? I ask you to ask yourself this question, what temptation is very real in my life right now? Be honest with yourself and be honest before God and come back on Thursday and hear the rest of the story. Let's pray. Our Father, as we conclude our time together today, Lord, I thank You that we can have victory over temptation. Lord, I pray specifically for some of our students that maybe are dealing with some very real things. God, may You help them to be honest with themselves today, and Lord, may they return on Thursday to hear the cure. God, I thank You for victory over temptation. And I pray that You'll continue to speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for viewing. We'll see you on Thursday.